Yes! What is up, everybody? Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Just Too Sweet Show, episode 153. I fucked all the numbers up, but this is officially 153. We have good people behind the scenes who corrected me. 153. I apologize if anyone got it wrong. Anyway, I am BDT himself, Mr. Tim Tabala. With me, as always, my tag team partner, A to Z, Mr. Eric Zan. Eric, what is up, my brother?
Not much. Just glad to be back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle, like Garrison said, right? Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again. Got some longer daylight and, you know, lifting spirits.
Are you one of those daylight guys? Like, you got to have the daylight?
No, I like the night.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't give a shit about
saving. Actually, yeah.
Clocks forward, clocks back.
No, it could get dark at 5 every night. I wouldn't care, honestly, because realistically, I like the night better. I always have.
I agree. Me too. Absolutely. And I like the cold. I like the dark.
Yes, cold, dark, and early night. I like that.
That's awesome. Well, we have a lot of shit to talk about. We missed last week. Last week, we were having some technical difficulties. We were ready to go live. And at the last minute, we couldn't do it. We had Wi-Fi issues and weather and all kinds of crazy crap. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the bad stuff, the sad stuff. Right after we just got done talking about Ole Anderson passing away, the next day we got news, Virgil also passed away. I should have had his real name ready. I don't. You know his real name by any chance?
Mike Jones.
Okay, there you go. Mike Jones.
And I only know that because I just watched a clip of, I think it was Dutch Mantel. They were talking about it.
Well, poor Virgil, down on his luck the last couple of years, but I also heard he had a lot of mental issues and stuff like that. His family was saying, he was at every wrestling show possible, trying to get people to take autographs and pictures. And, you know, sad to say, it just didn't work out for him. Sad, another one of our childhood wrestlers gone. Let me ask you a question, because Virgil, you know, bodyguard, not really a wrestler, I guess you want to call him, but do you think he had skills? Do you think he could have been something if with the right gimmick, with the right push, maybe not start off with the bodyguard gimmick? Could he have been something better? Or do you think he was just really a below mid-card kind of guy?
He was a mid-card guy. I don't think he was ever going to get anywhere beyond that. low mid-card.
I'd rather be $1 million man's bodyguard than nothing at all. So,
well, because you're talking, he was like top heel for how many years? Like he was, who was the bigger top heel than DiBiase for 87 to 90? Like really? I mean, he was the worst. He was the best heel the company had, and Virgil was with him. So the top heel is the heel that makes the most money. He was in the most main events, and you know, the top guys always make the best money. So Virgil, I'm sure, made some good money.
Yep.
I don't know if he blew it on crack or what, but like,
well, my favorite line, any of those guys, we always used to say it. Vince McMahon, famously promoting the Royal Rumble, says, "There's Virgil. He could very well win the Royal Rumble." And every time I heard it, I laughed because we knew there was no way in hell poor Virgil was going to win a Royal Rumble. So, but you know what, Virgil, Mike Jones, rest in peace.
Yeah, that's sad.
My childhood gone. It sucks.
It is. I was all day. I was walking by people going Virgil, and you know, waiting for people to whip out $100 bills, and it was awesome.
And make him kick the ball out and watch from the little kid.
All good. Yeah.
All good. Then he for a real stretch, he ends up going to WCW as Vincent.
There's Vincent.
And again, he's serving the $1 million man in the NWO. Poor guy. And I felt bad for him in that sense.
But he had a job, so, you know.
He had a job. He got paid. It's his fault if he didn't have money. No offense. I'm not trying to say we don't. Whatever happened to him, happened to him.
I'm guessing crack. That's just my guess.
I heard he had mental issues, too.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I heard he's destitute, you know, mental issues.
Oh, well.
Weren't they asking for, like amenities and toiletries and
all kinds of
anything for, because he's like renting a room from like a friend.
Not he makes me feel bad. I should have just went and took a picture with him for like $20. You know, maybe he could have turned his whole life around.
Yeah, Tim. You know, it might be.
I got a little bit of guilt now. A little bit of guilt.
Yeah. Virgil guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, Virgil guilt. I lived through my life with Virgil guilt. Now when I go to one of these shows, now I'm like, I gotta take a picture with that guy. I gotta take.
You're
a
gonna have to. Guy. Yeah, like Mario Mancini or whoever. Yeah,
Paul Roma. When I met Nash and Hall, my biggest regret now is Mean Gene was there, and I didn't take a picture with him.
No.
And he fucking died like a month later, and I was like, son of a bitch. I should have taken a picture of Mean Gene.
Did you hear the tragedy of Mean Gene's funeral?
No.
Like, so I watch a lot of the different podcasts that are on now. I do watch pod, but I watch a lot of shoot interviews too. And I pick and choose now. Cause like that Hannibal guy is, he's kind of an idiot. Like he's, and I don't know. He just doesn't. I don't think he knows anything about wrestling because, like, the guys that he interviews, like, get all, like, shitty with him kind of because he just, like, asks stupid. I think he's reading off Wikipedia is what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a guy, James, from WSI, who's pretty good. And he not only knows his stuff, but he does his homework. So he interviewed DDP, and it was a great, great interview. So DDP said that Mean Gene's funeral was horrible because no one showed up.
No.
He said there was like, he said no boys showed up. None of the wrestlers showed up. There was hardly anybody there. He's like, it was the saddest, even sadder than him, you know, as to compound him passing, like nobody showed up. He said it was fucking weird. He said he thought like, you know, Hogan.
Why would that be? I don't understand why that would be.
I don't know. Like, if you get on YouTube and look up, you know, DDP Mean Gene, like, it'll show the, like, 4 or 5 minute clip of him talking about it. It's fucked up, man. It blew my mind. Because, like I said, I would have thought, like, you know, I didn't expect Vince and all them to go to it. But I would have thought, like, you know, Hulk and, like, the Nasty Boys and, you know, well, like
Hulk came out on Raw and did this whole big, you know, Mean Gene tribute thing. I figured he'd at least be there.
Yeah. And like, you know, like, you know, like Valentine and all those guys that Sheik, I don't know. Like, but nobody, he said, dude, I guess he mentioned he was there and he said someone else was there, but he said it was awkward because like nobody was there. Like it was weird. It's too bad. It's sad. It, like, made me even sadder about Mean Gene. I was like, oh, fuck, man. That sucks.
Well, that's a coincidence, because when we get into Dark Side of the Ring last week, something very similar happened. So we'll get into that in a second. But that does suck. That does suck big time. Well, rest in peace, Virgil. I'm sorry I didn't get to take a picture with you. Maybe that $20 could have changed your whole life. Maybe you would have just put it up your nose. I don't know. My bad. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
The other big news, and I can't wait to get you going.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Sting, the icon, Sting, finally retired after 70 years, I don't know, 40 years.
How many retirements is this?
This dude, well, the first one really was because of his neck. He didn't really, you know, retire. He was forced to retire after Seth Rollins almost killed him. Sting ends up retiring. He has a tag match, him and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks. I'll get into Darby Allin too for a minute, because Darby Allin is officially my top most hated current wrestler. And because he is everything Eric hates. He's fucking useless and stupid. And we'll get into that in a second. However, Eric, I know you didn't watch the Sting match, right? You didn't see anything of it at all? Nothing?
No.
I will show you one. I'm going to show one part, because if we're going to violate copyright, sorry, boss. We'll show this one thing. I won't give AEW any other, you know, I won't give them any other, what do you call it? Exposure.
Yeah.
That's just horse shit.
Well, they kind of need it anyway. I don't think they'd oppose it.
Yeah. Well, this was the entrance, and I thought this was pretty cool. These are Sting's sons playing his characters, and then he actually got Metallica to give them a song for one night. So the entrance is pretty cool. We'll just watch that real quick, a quick part of it.
Oh, let's see it.
Yes, it's a bootleg version. I couldn't find the real version. Those are his kids.
Oh, he was seeking destroy.
Fake belt, by the way. Fake belt. All right, we don't need to get into the whole thing, but I thought that was at least, I thought it was corny until I found out that those were his kids. I was like, well, that's pretty cool then.
And they look just like him.
They do. Without the makeup, they look exactly like him. It's scary how much they look like him.
And they're big like him.
Yeah. I don't know if they're wrestlers or not, but yeah, they were pretty big dudes.
They're big dudes.
I was like, look how corny this is. Then I found out they were his sons. I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to knock it. It was a cool little way to get out.
That's all right, I guess. Yeah, that's nostalgic. I'll give it that.
Well, him and Darby Allin actually defended the tag titles, and they won. Sting wanted to lose, which, you know what? I give him a lot of credit for, because you lose, they Young Bucks get the titles, you walk away, you're done. But they refuse. They said, no, you have to win your last match. So now the tag titles have to be, you know, put into a tournament and all that bullshit. I thought Sting was right. You know, I'm losing. You know, Mick Foley lost when he left. You know what I mean? I think it's okay to lose your last match. Not a big deal.
No.
So Sting, Eric, I know you had a very, 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 very strong opinion. Before I get to Darby Allin and the fucking worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Sting. Wait. I gotta put it up. This is gonna be fun. Gotta put it up.
All right.
All right. You obviously have a little problem with Sting.
I do. I have a big problem with Sting.
Let's hear your problem with the icon Sting.
So I'm tired of everybody. Well, first off, Sting was a great wrestler. I'm not going to take that away from him. He drew decent. I'm not going to take that away from him. But what I'm going to take away from him is he's a fucking douchebag. and I was okay with Sting for the longest time until I heard the bullshit. You had the shit on the Ultimate Warrior, didn't you, Sting? You fucking had to. You're like, well, I stopped taking steroids in 1990, but the Ultimate Warrior didn't. Who gives a fuck if the Ultimate Warrior didn't fucking stop taking steroids? Who fucking drew more money, Sting? He drew more money than you in 5 years than you did in your whole career. And I will bet on that. I will bet on that. You were fucking fledgling in WCW. You wouldn't leave because I'm the franchise guy. You guys were fucking losing money. You weren't drawing a dime. All right. And you fucking, then you go to the WWE and you let Hunter fucking use you like he did. I'm sorry, Steph. He pissed me off and I've got to get this out and then I'll be okay. So then he's fucking, you know, then, okay. So he gets on the 700 Club and praise the Lord and fucking Sting. And oh, I'm Mr. Clean now, whatever. You know what? Good for you. Okay. Great. You changed your life. Fine. Okay. So WWF buys WCW. Sting doesn't want to go. Why wouldn't you want to go, Sting? Why did you not want to go then? Oh, you know why? Because you were going to draw a dime. Because you were not the caliber of wrestler that the Warrior was. You're not the caliber of wrestler Hogan was. You're not the caliber of wrestler Stone Cold. You were not even in Bret Hart's league, buddy. You're not even in Bret Hart's league. Okay, everybody's shitting on Bret Hart right now. Bret Hart outdrew you. Bret Hart out wrestled you, And Bret Hart is a 20 times better wrestler than you're ever going to be. Okay. He shit on Bret Hart too because he said, oh, well, Bret stole the sharpshooter. Bret this and Bret that.
And the pink and black. He stole the pink and
black. Oh, and that's, I was getting, yes, I was going to, thank you, because I need to get into that. He said he took the pink and black. No, he didn't, Sting. He was wearing pink and black when you and Jim Justice Hellwig were fucking, shoving fucking Vaseline up each other's ass out in California, fucking trying to learn how to fucking wrestle while you're working out and taking steroids at the same time. Okay, so it's okay to take steroids then, and you can't take them after 1990. What, after 1990? Steroids aren't cool anymore. Fucking look at your jacked up fucking sons. They're not taking anything. Bullshit. So you know what, Sting? Fucking, you might have had the Scorpion Deathlock first, okay? Okay, that doesn't mean that nobody else can use it. Kevin Nash used the jackknife. Sid used the power bomb before that. Okay, did anybody throw a fit? No. Greg the Hammer Valentine used the figure four leg lock. Ric Flair used the figure four leg lock. Oh, gee, sorry. You know, let's see. Ricky Steamboat did a flying body press. Superfly Snuka did a flying splash. Eddie Guerrero did a frog splash. Anybody crying about it? No. You're the only one crying about any of this. And just because Bret made the sharpshooter better than your stupid Scorpion Deathlock, that you couldn't even sell out fucking a 2,000-seat fucking bingo hall while the WWF is fucking out there selling fucking 15, 20,000-seat arenas. And here you are. You're the franchise at WCW. Okay. Why didn't you go to the WWE when you could have? Why didn't you jump in the 90s when you could have? You should have, Sting. You should have jumped in the 90s when you would have made something of yourself. When you wouldn't have done that dumb crow gimmick where you just come down into the ring, beat everybody up with a baseball bat. Boy, you had a tough job. You didn't wrestle for a year and a half. All you did was walk out, point your bat at people, and walk away. You might have swung it once or twice, hit Kevin Nash in the nuts. I don't know. You did something. Then they did Randy Savage started doing his stupid shit like that. I'm like, okay, now they're making Savage do it. And Savage is probably like freaking out because you know how he is. He can't be quiet. So you know what? You know what, Sting? Take your fucking little your second retirement. Take it. Go stick it up the fucking your scorpion ass. Okay. Okay. You fucking you pissed on the Warrior. I could have gotten over that. Then you started shitting on Bret. I can't get over that. That's two of my favorites right there. If you said something about Roddy Piper, I would have probably come to your house and fucking slashed your tires because that would have been the end of it. But so Sting, congratulations, happy retirement. Now it gives you the carte blanche to just fucking start shitting on all your old friends. It's like, are any of you guys friends anymore? It's like, what do you got to shit on each other all the time for? What the fuck? Fucking Hellwig made it further than you. Are you jealous that the Warrior did better than you? I think you are. Sting. Then I'm going to go to AEW, the millionaire money. Oh, I don't do it for the money. You don't do it for the money, huh? Oh, okay. So you do it for the wrestling integrity. So where's the integrity in going to a fucking glorified indie owned by a fucking cocksucker billionaire fucking kid who's just paying all his favorite wrestlers to fucking wrestle for him
and
fucking Kenny Omega, fucking the greatest wrestler in the world who hasn't worked in almost 2 years, hasn't had a fucking match where he never got hurt. Let's see. Wrestlers used to pride themselves on not hurting themselves or the other guy.
Okay? Don't get into that part.
Kenny Omega, go fuck yourself just because. So there you go, Sting. You're full of shit. You're a crock of shit. You erased everything I ever cared about with you. I mean, I used to think you were cool. I love the Stinger. I love the blonde hair. I love the Scream. I love the Splash. I love the Scorpion. I loved it all, man. I was on your side, and you ruined it and fucking 6 minutes of me watching that stupid press conference, a media scrum. Fuck, go fuck yourself. You and Tony Khan, why don't you go lock yourself in a fucking closet and fucking get some lighter fluid and, I don't know, a vape pen and just fucking do whatever. I don't care. Fuck him.
I think you should stop having press conferences. Tony Khan can't have a good press conference. They always turn into shit shows.
Quit shitting on Bret Hart. What the fuck?
Well, now I thought you were going to bring this up. This is my problem. But again, I don't want to get into all religion.
I probably forgot.
Remember when he was born again, part of his thing was ratting out all his fucking friends.
He did. Yes. I mean,
he basically told like Lex Luger's wife, oh, he cheated on you all the time.
Yeah, oh, he did that.
We did drugs. We did this. We did that.
Road Warrior.
All of his friends out.
He's a fucking stool pigeon, okay? There's a code, okay? You don't fucking rat on your buddies, and you don't fucking snitches get stitches. And that, you know what? That should have said what kind of person Sting is right there. Fuck him. All right. Fuck you, Steve Borden. Go fucking retire. Go fucking preach at your fucking church and get your chocolate chip cookies after the service and give everybody a fucking little cup of lemonade and go have fun. Go rat out your buddies more. Get on Shoot Interviews now, as a matter of fact, and start ratting everybody out. You know, Bret Hart probably took your girlfriend in high school or something. Probably, you know, blame Bret Hart for that. You know, fuck him. Fuck him. Sting, fucking, you suck. You suck.
Okay, now, speaking of go fuck yourself, I am going to show this footage. I think it has to be shown in case anyone, like, you haven't seen it yet either, right, Eric? So I have to show it. This is Darby Allin. If you don't know who Darby Allin is, he wears half a Sting mask. And he wants to be Jeff Hardy so goddamn bad, but he doesn't have the oomph to be Jeff Hardy. So what did he do? I'm not as good as a wrestler as Jeff Hardy, so I have to take things up to another notch of stupidity. I mean, his finisher basically is where he tucks his arms and he just falls backwards on top of you, like leaps. What the fuck kind of move is that? This is the move he did at the last pay-per-view. Can we see this? Am I showing it? Okay, yeah. Here, this is what he did at the last pay-per-view.
Let's have it.
That's what they want. Seriously, Darby! Oh, God! What have we seen? Look at the blood, my God!
I don't get it.
Terrible.
Exactly. Watch it one more time.
Seriously, Darby!
Was somebody on there or something and they moved?
Young Bucks were there. Supposedly there. But yeah, there was no, it's like one of those things where this is what we talk about all the time. If you're going to do a spot like this, you have to fucking make it look real. That looked just like a moron swantoning onto a big plate of glass. Oh, innovative. Oh, you're the next fucking big star. No, you're not. You're a fucking idiot who does things like this. You're going to get yourself killed or someone else killed. Speaking of which, people in the front row were hit with shards of glass. Now, do you use fake glass? No. Tony Khan wants to make everything look as real as possible. Uses real fucking glass. People got hit with glass in the front row, including a lady who got cut and took a piece to the eye. What did Tony Khan say about that? Her fault. She sat in the front row. You know what's going to happen. Really? Really, Tony Khan?
Oh.
I can't wait till this woman fucking sues you
and
Darby Allin for as much money as humanly possible.
No, he'll settle out of court. He'll settle out of court.
He'll settle because
he's got the money. He's got the money.
Holy shit! What is that? I'm gonna swanton to a big plate of glass. And how is that part of the story? It's not. I'm just gonna swanton it to the glass.
And this is what's ruining the wrestling.
And just so you know, he didn't move for the rest of the match. Sting went off and won, you know, lost by himself in the ring, and he just laid there on the glass.
Good move. All that says, Tim, is A, they're not trained right, and they can't wrestle, and B, they don't know how to put a match together, and C.
Oh, AEW is definitely. I'm not going to. See, I'll disagree with you as far as WWE goes. You know I'm going to disagree with you on that. AEW
they're
is
better.
Everything is everything you hate. And I completely agree. I completely agree.
Now, WWE puts some good matches together. Even NXT does. Like they're trying. But the reason that wrestling won't evolve is because of shit like this. It's like, oh, a bigger, better. You know, have a match, but you know, you gotta get set on fire, thrown into a fucking fish tank full of piranha. And get fucking anal raped by Bigfoot. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, all in one match. It's like, you can't just have a match, see who's the better combatant. No, it's got to go over the top. And it's terrible.
Now, here's another, this is the funny part. Darby Allin is not going to get suspended or fined or, you know, he took that bump, cut his whole back up. Nothing's going to happen to him. Sammy Guevara, who I do like, but he is a little reckless. He needs to cut that shit out also. He's another one of those guys. Right. Stop trying to jump off roofs and just fucking wrestle. Because he's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Summer's back, fun flipped. Whatever. accidentally landed on Jeff Hardy's fucking head. Knocked him out.
I saw a clip of that. Yeah, I saw that clip. You posted
it. Gave him a concussion. Matt Hardy was trying to beat him up. This one's trying to beat him up. I mean, it was an accident. Was it a reckless accident? Yes, it was a reckless accident. But in the end, it was an accident. Tony Khan suspended Sammy Guevara for an accident like that. Why?
But
nothing will happen to this guy for shooting glass into a woman's face. I mean, what is going on down there? Like, nothing makes sense.
It's out of control. It's out. Tony is not a wrestling booker. He's not a wrestling promoter.
Oh, and now because Okada made his debut and he's with the Bucks now, and Ospreay made his debut, now the fucking world is saved. Now they're the greatest company in the world. The marks are fucking going through the roof with these two. And I'm tired of hearing about the two of them. Tired of it. You can have those two fucking fighting a best of seven all over the world, and it's not going to do the numbers that WrestleMania does. They're not beating the midget wrestling on TV right now.
No, they're not.
Micro wrestling. I don't want to offend anybody.
I think you can say midget again. I think you can say it again.
Well, you know, I don't even give a shit. Yes, the midgets. The midgets are outdrawing AEW on television. What does that tell you?
Will Ospreay's not going to save it because, number one, nobody knows who he is. Okay, you can wipe the Emperor of Japan's ass with fucking silver toilet paper, and over here, nobody's going to know who the fuck you are. It doesn't matter.
Perfect example I'm going to give you, talking about Bret Hart. One of the greatest of all time. No matter what you think of him now, no matter what you know, his personality, anything, you send him to WCW, excuse me, like they did, nothing for him. No plan, no story, and it fucking ruined his career. So this proves you still have to have someone smart enough to book these people into stories and matches. And AEW has, like you just said, just has a fucking millionaire playing with his little toys.
Yeah, it's like he's playing with his wrestlers.
It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible.
It's stupid. So
Ospreay, all these guys are going to fail because Tony Khan thinks he can book a fucking wrestling show three times a week.
What's Okada done over here? I don't give a fuck what he's done in Japan. It doesn't matter.
I don't care about him anyway. He came out. I was like, I don't. Who is that?
Nobody gives a fuck.
But now nobody gives a fuck. He's with the Bucks, and they fired Kenny Omega out of the Elite. So he's with the. Oh yay! Oh no, poor Kenny. Oh.
What's Kenny even done there? Nothing. He hasn't brought ratings up. He hasn't saved the company.
You know, first it was Omega. You know, the Bucks, Omega. They were going to set the company straight. No. Yep.
Nope. It's gotten worse.
Recently, Jay White showed up. Oh, Jay White. You know, he's one of the best in the world. Can't wait till he gets there. Done nothing with the guy.
Nope.
Nothing.
Done nothing.
And you put the butt on Samoa Joe. We're going to have a big surprise for Samoa Joe. An opponent he's going to be afraid of. Fucking 60-year-old Ron Van Dam comes out. That's your big surprise?
So Rob Van Dam's with the company now?
Yes. And a couple weeks ago after Samoa Joe won, that was I got a match for you. You're in trouble tonight. Usually when you say that, you have to back it up. Not 60-year-old fucking Rob Van Dam.
No, he's all stoned.
I didn't like him 30 years ago. I'm not going to like him today.
No, I didn't either.
So AEW like I said, they're never going to quit because he has the money.
Well, they're going to have to soon because if their sponsors keep losing money, I mean, they're not going to be on TV if they're not getting sponsorship. If it's coming out of Tony's pocket, like sooner or later, his father's going to be like, all right, enough.
Well, if daddy cuts off his allowance, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Doing blowing, banging hookers.
Yeah. Down in Jacksonville, wherever team they own. Like, I don't know.
Jaguars. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get off that because that's all angry stuff. Yeah, let's get all the angry stuff out of the way.
we're good now. We're vended.
All right. So rivalries and biographies and is in good shape right now. I'll put that up right there. The first rivalries was what was the first one? I'm already losing it. It was only 2 weeks ago. Well, last week was Jake the Snake and Macho Man.
Okay.
Not really a rivalry, But still, it was that was a good storyline back in the day.
It was.
And I, you know, like you said, I say this all the time. I wish I had the appreciation for Jake then that I do now. Because he was a fucking phenomenal storyteller, phenomenal interview. Scariest fucking person alive, I think. Gotta be
great
honest.
Great promo. Great promo.
Beyond a great promo. Beyond a great promo. That dude scared the shit out of you when he talked. So, that episode was... Have you watched? Have you had a chance to catch up on any of them?
No.
All right, well,
I haven't. I need to.
Macho and Snake, it was pretty good. And, of course, the best story is when with the King Cobra, where Macho Man sat Jake down and said, oh, you know, how do I know it's not really poison? You gotta
why don't
take
you
a bite.
Let it bite you?
Yeah, so he fucking Jake had to sit there and let this goddamn cobra bite him, and then sit there for like 10 minutes. Macho Man, make sure he doesn't die. All right, I guess you know. Don't take no drinks. Don't take no antidotes.
Don't take a potion or anything like that.
He's like, all right, I guess you're all right. I guess we could do this, and that's it. Macho walks out like nothing. Nothing ever happened. So that when you watch the match, Jake was so pissed. That he really pissed off that cobra to where it really dug into Randy and would not let go.
Yeah, he was paintbrushing the shit out of it.
Paintbrushing that fucking King Cobra. And the funniest part about the interview was, you know, people were saying, well, how'd you do that? How'd we do what? How'd you make that look like a real snake? And it was a real snake, you morons. It was just devenomized. But even then they said, you can't completely devenomize a snake.
No.
Randy, this is the one thing I didn't know, which I'm glad I like watching these shows. Savage got sick. Very sick.
He had like 102 fever for like...
Yeah, he was in the hospital a couple days. He got a really bad fever from it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what? Still hilarious story.
So great.
It is two great guys. Week one of biography, Sergeant Slaughter. It was good.
Subpar?
I enjoyed it. I think
it was okay.
I don't know anything about Sarge. I don't know what the hell I was doing. Didn't realize how big he was when he came back as a good guy. I had no idea he was as big as he was. Shocked, as a matter of fact, on how big he was. He was Hogan big.
Like in the early 80s?
Like when he came back and fought Iron Sheik.
Yeah. He's huge.
He was huge. I can't believe how big he was. So big that he joined G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually made him quit wrestling for a while because he was doing the G.I. Joe thing.
Yeah, Vince wanted a piece of it, and he couldn't get it, and so he got rid of him.
So, yeah, so Slaughter had to take a step back and just be G.I. Joe for a couple of years. I did not know that.
Yep.
I did not know that, but that was the story behind that. So that's pretty fucking cool, too. But then once the G.I. Joe thing died down, that's when they brought him back for the Iraqi thing. And you know what? God bless him. He was fucking – I would loved it. He loved it. He was 100% in it. But his family – took the fucking beating. His whole family took the beating for that. You know, they called
him. I bet.
Kids had to get moved out of school. They were getting tortured. Death threats. They had to have bodyguards and people moving them around. I mean, that's really, really insane that was happening.
And I
really felt bad. And Sergeant White, this is big time kayfabe. And this wasn't just the South, where, you know, we always make fun of the South for them. They still think everything is...
Yeah, they still think it's a civil war. Yeah, it's...
but no, even everywhere he went, he had to like have an armed escort, armed bodyguards. His family had to have bodyguards, and that was when the wife. And again, I don't like the wife. I guess it turned out okay, but even when he got after he quit wrestling, and he was like doing the producing thing with DX. The wife couldn't forgive him for the Iraq thing, so the relationship went downhill after that, and they separated.
Are they back together now? Or
now they're back together all these years later, because I guess, you know, he's just home all the time doing nothing. But still, was it a good episode? Absolutely.
It was good? Okay.
I recommend it. Like I said, I had no idea he was as big as he was.
Sarge is huge, man.
When he joined G.I. Joe, I had no idea he was that big.
Huge.
The best part was Sergeant Slaughter trying to pull off a Nature Boy Buddy Rose type gimmick. Like, no offense, Sarge, I love you, but you're ugly as fuck. You can't pull that gimmick off.
No,
you can't. Your head was all weird, your chin was all weird, and he's trying to wear like the flamboyant stuff. And they're like, dude, this ain't working. It's not gonna work on you.
Like, you had the hat and everything. No, that was bad. That was bad.
It was very bad.
So bad.
So, and then he just happened to find his hat, and he's watching the movies. The drill sergeant came out. became the biggest heel in wrestling. I didn't know he was the biggest heel also.
He was.
I had no idea he was that big. I just thought he was like a regular another dude. He was the biggest heel in wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Sarge was the real deal, man.
I had no idea. No, I don't know what I guess I was so wrapped up in fucking Hogan and them. I completely forgot about Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was massive. So
that's why they brought Corporal Kirshner in, because they wanted another army guy to be there.
Oh, but that's right. So I figured when he left, they brought in Corporal Kirshner.
Yeah. Who was a real paratrooper, by the way.
And so that's the, you just remind me, that's the other thing. Sergeant Slaughter was never in the Marines.
No.
He didn't serve. But if you asked Sergeant Slaughter, he would tell you he was in the Marines. He would give you the years he was there. He was there for 6 years. If you asked the real man,
Bob Remus.
Bob Remus, he would say, no, I never served. But if you asked Sergeant Slaughter, he would give you the story. So he got in trouble. People went crazy because as Sergeant Slaughter, the character, he went on TV and said, yeah, I served 6 years and I was in the Marine Corps and I was a drill sergeant. And of course, you know, nowadays you get these assholes who have to be right all the time, call them out on it. And he was like, I answered as Sergeant Slaughter. I didn't answer as Bob Remus. If I answered me, I would have said, no, I never served. I answered as my character. That's what we did. That's what we did in the 70s and the 80s. If you ask me the question about wrestling, our characters, we're going to answer in character.
Yeah.
And of course, in the 80s and the 90s, this wasn't a problem. You hit nowadays, 2000 and on, where everything is a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
They gave him shit for it. Which I'm
everybody's
like,
a crybaby. Everybody's a crybaby.
So
there's no more live and let live, man.
No. So that was a good episode. I highly recommend if you get a chance to see it. This week's biography was Scott Hall.
Ooh.
Another very good one.
I bet you that is good.
Tearjerker, of course. You know, X-Pac, Kevin Nash, all of them are in it. Hogan. Hogan needs to stop doing these. He needs to stop.
Yeah, he does.
He needs to stop because he always has to throw a little, you know, I started this, I did that. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up for 5 seconds, please.
Well, what did he start now? Did he
always has to throw the little thing in there, you know, where, oh, no, if it wasn't for us and me, and, you know, say, like, no, dude, if it wasn't for Hall and Nash, you wouldn't have resurrected your career. They resurrected your career, my friend. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, if they didn't go there, Hulkamania was dead.
He takes the credit without taking the credit. He's like trying to slip that in there. It's like, Hulk, take a break. Take a 5-minute break. You're talking about a dead guy here, too. You know?
Yeah.
Take a break.
Yeah. Your son just fucking got arrested for DWI, man. Fucking. Yeah.
Go worry about that for a minute.
Go worry about that for a while.
So as far as the Scott Hall one goes, they went into it. If you watch the documentary, they have a special on the network, you know, the biography video about him. And they talk about how he was a bouncer at a strip club. He was dating one of the girls. Another guy didn't like it, got a little frisky, pulled a fucking gun in his face. And Scott Hall wrestled with him. The gun ended up in his hand, blew the fucking guy's brains out, killed him. Ooh. And Scott Hall had brains and blood and everything all over him. He was acquitted. It was not enough evidence. It was self-defense. Okay, you move on. But this episode shows and proves that he never got over that. He basically lived for 30 years with fucking PTSD about that night, because even Xbox said it. Sean Waltman said it. Every time he got, even Triple H also, he got a few drinks in him, he talks about that. Every time they were in that area in Florida, he had to stop there and look where this fucking poor guy died. He never, ever got over it. So his demons were all revolved around that one goddamn horrible night. And I got emotional over that. I was like, damn, imagine if he could have just, you know, seen a therapist or learned that it wasn't his fault, that this guy came at him with this gun. And he might still be alive.
Well, it basically killed him. Healthy.
It did. It killed him from the inside out for 30 fucking plus years. Horrible. Horrible to have that on your conscience for that long.
It is.
And not getting over it for that long.
That's terrible.
It is. It's horrible. The episode itself was great. It was a good episode. A couple new things I didn't really know about him, but the same footage they used for all the other footages of him from 2014, that six-hour interview he did. It's all the same stuff. But the one thing, again, I didn't know, I forgot about was COVID basically killed him. Because after he went to DDP's and got sober, the Hall of Fame, he was sober, he was good. He admitted, I still like to drink, man. I still want to drink. But Dallas Page said, okay, well, I'm not going to yell at you, or, you know, but what we're going to do is get you to drink in certain situations where you can, like, don't, not on TV, not with your kids, not here, not there. I get, you know, so Dallas wasn't trying to lock him down, just trying to tell him, teach him how to control it, where to do it, and, you know, and take it easy. COVID, he locked himself away in this little house, couldn't go nowhere because he was afraid he was going to get sick because, you know, he had a lot of, he was taking, you know, 30, 40 pills a day for all the shit that was wrong with him.
With pacemaker, everything, yeah.
Petrified COVID was going to kill him, just drank himself, walked around that house by himself, fucking had a, took a header, fell down, broke his hip, was laying on the floor in his house for like 3 fucking days, just laying there waiting to die. Horrible. I mean, that's
somebody found him, or?
I guess so. I guess somebody did a wellness check and they finally got him. Or he reached the phone, I think they said, finally. Took him 3 days to get there. He basically just, you know, try to get to the phone in the daytime, sleep, get up, try to do it again, sleep. You know, afraid he wasn't going to wake up again. Horrible. And then it said they took him to the hospital, and then that was that. He had three major heart attacks while he was in there, and they gave him, Sean Waltman talked about going to see him. You know, they all talk about going to see him. It's a sad episode.
Nash went to see him.
Nash went to see him. They weren't going to pull the plug until everyone got there.
Triple H go see him?
I don't know. They didn't say Triple H went, but I'm pretty sure I remember he did. I'm pretty sure that all the Click was there.
Okay.
And the Click and I forget. I think just his family. Just his family and the Click, I believe, were there when they finally said, you know, that's it.
Yeah, he ain't gonna. Yeah.
So yeah, again, great episode. I give A&E credit. It was good. I recommend it. Where do we go next?
Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring. Episode 2 tonight. Buff Bagwell coming on at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Buff the stuff, baby. I can't wait to watch this shit show.
That's going to be good.
Episode 1, Earthquake. John Tenta. A lot of stuff I didn't know about the guy. Not a Dark Side worthy guy. He's just a man who loved his family, who got sick. Why is that a Dark Side?
I don't know. I think is because I even watched like behind the extras on YouTube. They show stuff. Look, the one producer said they're trying to lighten some of them up, so they're not just so like gloom and doom. Like some of them, they're like, you know, not tragedy befell them, but it's like, you know, like, oh, they had the highs, then the lows, and then whatever. But that's why they called it the Ballad of John Tenta. And, you know.
Look at great guy, sumo wrestler, quit because he did not like their rules and their, what they made. They gave him like a set of things to do, and he was like, uh-uh. Yeah. I don't like this. I don't like what you guys are trying to make me do on a daily basis.
And they didn't like his tattoo, and
yeah, they didn't like a bunch of stuff about him, and they gave him a lot of shit. So he's like, I'm quitting.
Yeah, he was doing super good too. Like,
no, I don't know about you, Eric. I said I don't know about you with the whole kayfabe thing when you were a kid. I'm saying, but I really believed that he came out of that audience as a regular guy. And like squashed Hulk Hogan, and then they made him a wrestler. I didn't put two and two together back in the day. Back in the day, I wanted to believe that John Tenta came out of the fucking audience.
And I did.
I wanted to believe that Hillbilly Jim was really a hillbilly who came out of the audience and became a wrestler.
Obviously, yeah,
that's not really happens, of course.
No.
But I watching it now. I'm I was such an idiot. But kayfabe was a good thing back then.
But it was beautiful, yeah, because it gave that sense of mystique, and there was still magic about wrestling, and now there's not. And you know, it's half the problem. You know,
I miss
like when I watch these guys, whatever the stretch club there on NXT, Regal's sons in it, whatever they're called.
I know you're talking about,
whatever they are. I'm watching these guys talk, and it's just like they're wasting my time. Like I'm wasting my own time watching this. But then Regal comes out, and I'm like, oh, okay, I can grab that. But I can't grab what they're doing. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. The kayfabe. I agree. Yeah. Like, but no, I thought Earthquake. Yeah, he played it pretty good. Like, you know.
It was great. He came out of the audience. He squashed Hogan. You know, the only way you knew it was a setup was because Drew McMahon was screaming, "That's a setup. It's a setup. This was all a setup." And you know, him and Tugboat become the Natural Disasters. One of my favorite tag teams. Tag champions. Ends up going to WCW. Well, they made him a shark. They made him Avalanche.
Yeah.
And he just hated all of it. Comes back to WWE. They throw a mask on him and give him a giant Cartman doll.
Yeah.
He's part of the Oddities. That was fucking like when now that I think about it now, I'm like, really? It could have brought him back as Earthquake or you know, something or along those lines.
John Tenta. Like, I don't know. Like,
but
legit tough guy too. Legit tough
absolutely,
guy.
Absolutely. Has a Filipino wife. His kids look like nothing like him. His kids are pure Filipino. When they showed his kids, I was like, whoa.
The daughter, like from here up, she looked like him. And so did the youngest son there, the one that kind of didn't look Filipino.
In a way, yeah. But what you said about Mean Gene is what reminded me. When he passed away, he had cancer, and went away, came back, didn't really tell nobody until it was too late. He was one of those proud guys of that generation who's like, I'm not going to live, doctor. Fuck that.
Driving truck, dude.
Yeah, guess what? It killed you. Yeah, and stomach cancer spread everywhere. He died. Nobody went to the funeral.
Nope.
Nobody sent flowers.
Nope.
I'm like, where the fuck was Tugboat? Where was fucking, you know, he was on the episode crying. His friend died. Why didn't he go to the funeral? And so you said that about Mean Gene. Is there some kind of weird code that these guys have about, you know, funerals?
Everybody went to Owen's funeral.
Maybe that was a tragic accident, not like a death, like a regular death. I don't know. Is this kind
of weird? Are they too far apart in the country to like just be like, oh, I'm going to get on a plane and go to that? I don't know.
I think Vince or anybody would be like, all right, you can go to the funeral. Get back here in time for the show, whatever. But still, flowers. They according to the kids, Vince didn't even send flowers. And Bischoff didn't even send flowers. Like no one even acknowledged the poor guy's death.
I wouldn't expect him to, because Vince got what he wanted from him. You know,
that's fucked up.
It is fucked. Well, yeah. I mean,
so you get your little 10 bell ring, and that's it. And your picture that says rest in peace, and that's it.
Did they acknowledge him when he died? Like, did they show a thing?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they did. As far as I can remember, that was a while ago, too, now. As far as I can, that was 2006.
2007?
Yes, it was six.
Six or seven?
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
But I didn't know that that oldest kid wasn't his.
Oh, well, it was his the wife's first one?
Yeah, well, he was a baby when they met and they did whatever. But, like, I assumed that was his kid, too. Like,
yeah.
He had, like, four kids, right? Like
three. There was three of them on this episode.
I thought there was another girl, too, that they didn't show.
Well, maybe. There might have been. But, yeah, on this show, it was only three.
Okay.
And hey, man, this is the kind of wife I want to see. Not like fucking Sarge's wife that just pissed. I mean, this guy, Sarge did what he had to do for his family.
Yeah.
And that lady pissed all over him. Oh, he was never home.
He
put us all in danger. Oh, meanwhile, the kids are all fucking crying over the poor guy and everything. And
yeah.
At least Earthquake's wife was like, you know, fuck it. That was my man. I love my man. I sing to him all the time. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good and, for her.
Yeah. And he's like, he had a pretty modest burial too. Like he's not like, you know what I mean? He's just sitting there in the cemetery somewhere. Of course, I guess when you're dead, you're dead. Like,
yeah, I guess you don't care about where actually buried.
But
you can bury me anywhere. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Whatever. So tonight is Buff Bagwell, shit show.
I'm gonna try to watch it.
As much as I don't mind the Earthquake, like Earthquake One, where it's not really that bad, I want to see the bad, and Buff is gonna be bad. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's gonna be fucked up.
Yeah, fucked up. Oh yeah, it's gonna be fucked up because he's a fucked up guy.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Biography this week is DDP.
Okay.
Should be all right. I don't know if he deserves 2 hours, but okay.
Should be decent, yeah.
Yeah, don't hate the guy. I never loved him, never hated him. He was just there. I appreciate what he does for these wrestlers that you don't need.
Yeah.
He did save Scott Hall's life. He saved Jake the Snake's life.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the advocate these guys need.
Like, yeah. So, you know, good for him. What was rivalries this week? Okay, talk. Yeah, I'm thinking what rivalries coming up.
Speaking of biographies, you know what one I was surprisingly like maybe the most was like Booker T.
Booker T was good.
That was a really good one.
It was a really good one.
Bret Hart was good too.
Most of them have been good, but see, the thing is, with people like us, we know most of this shit. So I want shock me, surprise me. Like that's the kind of shit. That's why I like when you get a. You know, a fucking Earthquake episode. I don't know shit about Earthquake. Now I do. And I'm glad I know about Earthquake now because it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And just like, you know about it more than I do, but you know, your Gino Hernandez is, you know, all those guys. I don't know anything about them. Now I know everything about them because it's all fucked up. So Buffs tonight, DDP Sunday. I don't know what the rivalry is. I apologize. I don't know what the rivalry is for this week. I forget already. Is it Undertaker and Shawn? Oh, Undertaker and Shawn was last night.
That's what it was?
That was it. Undertaker and Shawn was last night.
Okay.
Good episode, but again, nothing new. Nothing we didn't know. Nothing we don't already know from WrestleMania. And great match the whole time.
Yeah, and half the interviews they've all done, it's like...
Yeah, nothing really new. But, I mean, it was still cool to watch them in order the way they went. And how, you know, they went from hating each other in real life to loving each other in real life. So, again, watchable, absolutely. Rewatchable, probably not. One time is good. One and done is fine. So those are those. Real quick before we start getting out of here, the road to WrestleMania. We're here. 26 days away from WrestleMania.
Really?
And in case you didn't hear, we'll just run you down real quick because, you know, I said everything went to shit after the Vince thing came down and CM Punk got hurt and Lesnar was fired for a little bit. He's back, by the way. They put his name back on the roster. So I guess he was found innocent. Or whatever he was being accused of.
Yeah, I knew. I figured he would be.
Yeah, so he's about. He'll probably. I think he's going to come to fight either Dominic and destroy him, or who was the other guy he was supposed to fight? Shit, I'm going senile. Whatever. So Brock might be back, but the main thing I wanted to say was, the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns thing has a twist now. Night one, it's going to be The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. If Seth and Cody win, the bloodline is banned from night two completely. Not even allowed in the building for night two. That means Cody can one-on-one, no interference, finish the story. If it's the other way around, then it's fucking open season. The bloodline can do whatever the hell they want, when they want. Special guest referee, hit each other with chairs, whack each other off. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. I'll applaud Triple H for coming up, whoever came up with that, I should say, after everything went to hell, because everyone hated the fact they put Rock in that spot and the backlash was unbelievable, so they found a way to kind of fix it.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, the backlash was horrible, so you know what? Whoever did this, I like the idea of that, the two-match thing. Again, we're actually hearing Roman may win. How can he win? Not that I'm tired of Roman, but you will destroy Cody Rhodes.
How does this get leaked out? Like
people just leak it out. That's what sucks.
Yeah, it's not even fun. Like,
you know, some of these writers, man, they got nothing better to do with their fucking lives.
Yeah, it's not even fun anymore.
I got to be the troll that goes online anonymously and tries to leak the schedule and all that bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not even going to watch WrestleMania. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch. I have to watch. Two nights is going to be fun. But before we go, I will say this, though. The Hall of Fame is taking shape.
Yeah, I'm happy about the latest inductees.
Yeah, we'll talk about first. Paul Heyman was announced first, which well fucking deserved.
Heyman needs to be in there.
He's a genius. I mean, even now with the promo, his facial expressions alone, I'd put him in there. He makes me laugh every week. Again, he was behind ECW. He was pretty much Vince's fucking double agent.
Yep.
No one knew back in the day that ECW was subsidized by fucking WWF. So whenever a guy was jumping from WCW, he was the guy who said, you should go to WWF, call Vince. I got the number. You know, go over there. You'll be better there. So that's like, holy shit. I mean, how did Austin end up over there? Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
With a little stop in ECW, you know? So he deserves it. Bull Nakano. Who the fuck is that?
Bull Nakano? She was in like the 94-95 era of wrestling. She wrestled a Lunder Blaze.
That's probably why I don't know who she is. 94-95. I have no idea who she is.
Yep. She's getting... actually a big Japanese woman wrestler too. So
is she Hall worthy?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I mean, if Pete Rowe, if Drew Carey's in there, she should be like.
Well, he's a celebrity wing, just like today's celebrity wing announcer was Muhammad Ali, and he's getting in because he fought Gorilla Monsoon and he fought
Antonio Inoki.
So it kind of makes sense why Ali would get in, even though they're reaching for celebrities now. The guy's been dead fucking 20 years. They're reaching now for, you know,
yeah, for celebrities. What? Yeah.
So
but well, no, the Hall of Fame's turning into a joke. Like,
yeah, until they actually build one that we can go see, yeah, it's kind of a joke. And finally, yeah, this is the one that I was actually happy about too. The U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, both getting in.
I was super excited about that.
Great tag team from the 80s. Two great wrestlers. Two fucking real badass guys in real life.
Yep.
If you don't know who Mike Rotundo is, he is the father of Bray Wyatt. And which makes me think that maybe Bray might be getting in too. You might have the whole Rotunda family on stage. I don't know. Maybe not.
Why would you do that to your father to take away from his time?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, because don't forget, he's also named Bray Wyatt's real name is Windham. Barry Windham.
You know I think it's too much. I think it would usurp Mike Rotunda's the meaning of Mike Rotunda getting in. So
maybe that's what he wants, though. Maybe he wants.
I don't think so.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's too early, too.
I don't. Either way,
put him in next year. Put him in next year.
So yeah, they're gonna get in. Barry with Mike Rotunda getting in. That's pretty cool.
Is he even worthy of being in the Hall of Fame?
I think he had a big impact, an impact enough, and he could have went a lot further if he didn't die.
But he died.
I think so.
Rotunda wrestled Deposit High School back in the day. Yeah, he was from Newark Valley. He was he went to States. Yeah, he went to States. He's from Newark Valley. He wrestled in Deposit.
And he went to Syracuse after that, right? Syracuse?
That's Syracuse after that, yep.
Yeah. And a little bit of trivia in case someone doesn't realize, A Real American, Hulk Hogan's famous song, was actually written for these two. Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham.
And there they is used footage, it too.
There is footage of them coming out to that song in the beginning. And then one day Vince or Hogan, maybe it was Hogan, who said, nah, man, that's my song. I'm taking that fucker. And then he did. that's what he did back in the day. So congratulations to those two guys. Those two guys are well-deserving. Barry Windham especially is well-deserving to get in on his own. And Rotunda could be on his own because he's also IRS. He's also a great wrestler, period.
Yep.
So, good for them. I don't know if they're going to announce any more people. Like, announce any more, maybe? I don't know if that's the whole thing or not.
I don't know. I bet you there'll be one more. Is Heyman the headliner?
I would think so, yeah. I would think he's got to be the headliner. So, yeah. All right. I think that was a good show. We hit the hour on the dot.
On the dot.
We hit the 1 hour mark.
27 seconds in.
That's awesome. We're like fucking clockwork.
And no technical difficulty.
I thought we'd be 90 minutes just on your Sting rant alone.
I had to get it quick because like I was like I couldn't like I didn't want to relive it again.
I'm gonna tell you my personal opinion, and I know it would, but then again, fuck Tony Khan and AEW. I just think they gave Sting a chance, but I would go back to WWE for one more match.
I would too.
Fight Seth Rollins. Get that monkey off your back. You go out and have your match. Win. The guy ever win in WWE? He never won.
No.
That goes where he loses.
He put everybody over.
Triple H. I mean, it gave us a great moment. The whole WrestleMania thing. It didn't make any sense. And that's the best part about it. John Cena said it backstage. The NWO DX thing. He goes, this makes absolutely no sense. But nobody fucking cares. Because it's a cool moment. And I agree. It made no sense, but it was a cool moment. But if I'm Sting, I'm telling Tony Khan, I'm going to the WWE for one more match. I have to finish it. Get it out of the way. Can't do Taker. Taker's done. So get the guy who knocked you out of
WrestleMania. So he says.
Nah, Taker's done, dude. I don't want to look at him trying to put wrestling gear on ever again. His body walks like his legs move before the rest of him. It's like really weird to watch him.
He's like Frankenstein now. Yeah.
So Sting, if I were you, I would just call up Vince. Call up Triple H and say, listen, I got one more for Seth Rollins. Then I'm done. Tell Tony Khan, thank you. But if you don't like it, tough shit.
Or call Vince and, say hi.
Well, if he wants, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to say,
No Vince tonight. No Vince tonight.
Yeah, we can't do the other 30 minutes of just dildo talk. So
no.
Let's not even get into that. That's my opinion. I think Sting should fight one more time in WWE. Just get it out of the way. But he's not going to. Whatever. Darby Allin sucks. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's end on this because this is my other most hated person in the world. Ryback. Ryback. Ryback has been sniffing his own shit again. And he thinks it smells good. This guy sucks. He sucked from day one. He still sucks today. Actually had the balls to say, I would return to WWE if Triple H quits and The Rock is put in charge.
Not going to happen.
First of all, no one wants you back.
No.
There's a reason why you were fired and not called back in the last 10 years. There's a major reason. It's because you suck.
Yeah.
And every week he goes on his little podcast and he talks about Vince and he talks about WWE, he talks about Triple H. Dude, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, are you fucking that delusional?
Oh, he buried everybody.
He buries everybody. You think they're not even, I don't care what Triple H does.
No.
Rock's not going to hire you back. No one's going to hire you back, you moron.
No, you suck, Ryback. You suck.
And he's taking, he's all happy because Vince is in trouble or whatever.
So yeah, it's nice to revel in, other people's misery. It takes away from your own.
What a fucking jerk off he is. I don't care how big he is. I'd fight that guy anytime because he's a fucking jerk off. He can knock my lights out. I don't care. I'll still go after him just because he's stupid.
At least you fought him. Yeah.
I hate it. Him and Darby Allin, I'd like to fucking put him in a rocket ship and get him the hell out of here. Dumb. Dumb. All right, so we got tonight, half hour, Buff Bagwell. Sunday, have those shows. Those are all good shows. Next week, we'll get into it again, talk about more. Hopefully, there's a quiet news day because there's just so much shit going on in wrestling nowadays. So we can get back to talking about some good, fun, old school stuff like we want to. Eric, do you have any final remarks before we get out of here?
I don't. Great show. Can't wait to get next week's in. Had a good time.
Yes, and I'm happy there were no glitches.
No glitches. I'm in living color.
Fucking glitches. No scrolling, no circle buffering, no sound shit. It was awesome, so I'm very happy. Thank you, everybody, for watching, commenting. Stephanie, thank you. We'll be back hopefully next week, episode 154.
Today was 53.
Yeah, I know. I screwed the numbers up somewhere along the line. Thank you, boss, for figuring that out, by the way. We'll be back. Hopefully, Eric, we keep asking, A to Z, when's it coming?
It's coming. It's coming. It's definitely coming.
Because that's the place where we really unload.
Fridays are tough anymore because, you know, everybody goes out Friday. Everybody does shit Friday. So I'm trying to, find a different day of the week. I want to try to break up everybody's week. So maybe Thursday. Like,
I think we're back on Wednesdays as far as I'm sportsmanlike. So,
yeah, maybe we'll try Thursday.
We'll try that.
Or Thursday or Saturday, one of the two. So we'll see what happens.
Either one, I'm good. Whatever you
Me
want
too.
To.
Cool.
We gotta bring it back.
Yeah, we do. A to Z needs to come back.
Absolutely.
In a big way.
Hell yeah. We gotta have special guest stars and violate copyright and get in trouble and
mostly that. Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry, boss, but that's what we're gonna do.
That's what happens.
All right, tomorrow we're going to do Sportsmanlike Conduct. Make sure you tune in. We had a lot of crazy shit going on in football today. Free agent frenzy. A lot of guys jumping teams.
Yeah.
Put It in the Books is back. I believe they're going on Thursdays as of right now. Stay tuned for Grannies. I don't know when they're on. Are they on now?
They might be.
They might be on now. For all your comic book movie needs, all that good shit, you go to Granny's Peach Tea. I'm sure Empire 161 will be coming back soon when the Yankee season starts. Who else is there? That's it.
That's about it. Nobody does shows anymore.
Because we're the fucking MVPs right here. MVPs. Not the EVPs, the MVPs. Right here.
We're the icons of podcasts.
We are. Well, Steph, if we can make that happen.
I think we could get Brett on here.
Yeah, Brett, he's gonna want money.
Yeah, but we'll just tell him it's Canadian, and we'll like get a money order for like $25 American, and that's like what, 400 Canadian.
Yeah, we'll write $10 in like a thing, and we'll say $10,000. No, $10.
Yeah,
it's $10 be on our show. You said you signed a contract.
He said $10. Here's $10.
Steph, I'd love to get either one of them on. I'd get any wrestler on. I'd get Ryback on here just so I could scream at him. I don't care. I would love to get a guest.
Somebody would come on the show. I think somebody would.
You know what? Fuck it. Tomorrow, I'm going to write a heartfelt letter to Jim Cornette. Say, Jim, will you help out an up-and-coming podcast? Would you just make it a 5-minute appearance and just tell us the state of the union right now as far as professional wrestling? Let him go off. It'd be the greatest thing ever. Fuck yeah. Then we get Kevin. I'll write the same note to Kevin Nash, the same note to this. Say, look, Kevin Nash is all about the money, though. Come on, 5 minutes, Kev. 5 minutes out of
here. I bet that cost $1,000.
Probably. But I'll say, hey, we'll give it a shot. The worst they can say is no.
Yeah, worst they can say is no.
That's the one best thing I always tell people. The worst you can say is no. And that don't hurt my feelings, so I don't care. Maybe we'll give that a shot. I think we can get Jim Cornette.
I think Corny might. He wouldn't come on air, but I think he would voice, like call in, like, you know.
That's fine.
That'd be cool.
I'm interested now. I think we can get that a shot. I think we should try that.
We should.
Steph, we're going to try that just for you. And if we got a restaurant here, we're going to dedicate the show to you. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it the Stephanie Just Too Sweet Show.
The Just Too Steph Show.
There you go. That'll be your special. Especially if we get Bret Hart on.
Yeah, we get Bret on. We'll let you come on and talk to him.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe Eric will give you an opening, but I don't think he will.
I don't know. I'll be pretty starstruck.
Yeah, it'd be weird to talk to someone like for real. Because you don't want to ask him all the same old Mark questions.
Yeah, I just want to bullshit with him. Like,
yeah, that's all I would do.
Yeah.
Let's say you got to stay away from those Mark questions, and you can't use the terminology. I found out the wrestlers don't like when you say kayfabe and
no, they just like it when you talk normal. Like,
yeah, they don't want you saying schmaz or, you know,
jabroni or
yeah. What's the word they hate? Botched. Gimmick. They hate botched.
Botch gimmick.
They hate when you say botched. Yeah, they can't stand that. So, all right. Anyway, that's what we're gonna try to do. Fuck it. What's the worst they could say? No. Yeah. We'll give it a shot. All right, guys, thank you for watching. Like I said, look for all our shows, popculturepros.com. A lot of contests, a lot of movie tickets, a lot of shit going on. Make sure you watch us. We are everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Just too sweet.